This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Transmission time with Lauren, Jane and Michael, live from a transgender perspective. Tonight Jane and I are joined by Michael. How would you like to describe yourself? Would you like to define yourself in any shape or form, Michael? Let me just get in advance. You're the person, as a guest we've had on the show before, who has sworn, said the F word more than anybody else in the 10 years that we've been on air.
I think Michael's the only one.
No, we've had other people who've...
And I wasn't even trying.
No, you were just laid back and F this and F that. So I guess if nothing else, you have that distinction. How else would you define yourself? You've got a beard like Osama bin Laden.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I've not been the same putting attitude. The tester gel on the moustache because it was getting a little...
And what does that do?
Frail.
Oh, really?
It's supposed to, to make it grow harder.
Mm.
I know the first time I put it on, it tingled and I went, oh, maybe I'm going to be allergic to it, but I wasn't.
Oh, okay. So you can get gel to
yeah, you
encourage
get tester gel. Tester gel that I have had that comes in sachets, little pillows. You get 30 to a packet, and they cost over $90.
And you rub it on and it makes you more hirsute, yeah?
That's the plan. So I haven't used it very often over the last 2 years. So I've got a new psychiatrist now because I ended up with one at Goonawarra, which is near Sunbury. And
that's a bit far away from where you live.
Just a bit far. Yeah, it's half an hour's drive either way. Whether I was at Belinda or Glenroy, it's still half an hour. So anyway, the Glenroy Clinic, there is a female doctor, and for some reason, I don't know, I like female doctors. They seem to do what I want them to do. But anyway...
I don't think I'm going to go down that route, Michael.
No, I don't think you've ever been down anyway, Jane, but yes.
So anyway, she gave me the letter, and then I had to make the appointment, and then I was all booked to see him, and then they changed the time, but that was all right. So I had a discussion about... alteration of birth certificate. We were talking about this before, about people getting married.
You're listening to the Michael Show on Joy 94.9.
This isn't what we were going to talk about tonight, you realise.
I'd like to actually explain what we're going to talk about, but I was waiting just to find out, just for you to answer one of the questions that I asked earlier, but clearly I can't even remember the questions. So.
The question was, how do I see myself?
Okay.
The question is...
Oh, okay, so there's an answer coming.
There's an answer coming.
Okay, carry on.
I'll get around to it. Cut to the chase.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is I see myself as a man.
Yep.
And I do all the surgery and all the tester gel.
Actually, how do you define yourself is what I was asking for. But how you see yourself, I guess, is the same thing. Thank you to Stephen, who just SMS'd in while Margot was talking. Goodness knows you could have SMS'd in...
several times.
War and Peace while Margot was talking. On air at joy.org.au. Michael, please continue.
We are interrupting your show.
Go on.
I know with definition do you see yourself straight, gay, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I've always seen myself as a straight boyfriend who liked girls.
Okay.
But haven't quite got around to marrying the girl that I'm living with for the last 3 years that I met through Transgender Victoria.
Yeah, that was a scary night. Yes. We actually used to have meetings to discuss issues, not as a pickup opportunity. But I'm glad that you did well there, Michael. That's the main thing.
Yeah. So, and I keep thinking, well, what are the benefits? What are the not benefits? And, how does Centrelink see me? And they see me as a female. So we're just like two women living together. But how they see us after the same-sex act of Parliament, I'm not too sure, so I'm going to go ask them.
It'll come down to birth. Were you born in Victoria?
Yeah.
It'll come down to births, deaths and marriages and the legislation there. You could probably change your birth certificate.
Oh, yeah, I can, yeah.
Well, if you did that,
that's what I'm working on.
Then you can go ahead and get married if that's something that you wish to do.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, shut up and let's get on with the show.
Okay.
Go to it. Tonight on the show, we're going to look at the something that Jane's calling the magic pill. It's actually a proposition that we discussed a few weeks ago lightly, and we had a wonderful email from Adam Stobbs saying he'd love to be one of our co-presenters, saying that he's often thought about the question if you could take a magic pill to cure, in inverted commas, homosexuality, would you take it? Mm.
But in our case, it's could you cure your gender identity issues and would you take the pill? I think it should make for an interesting discussion.
We've got a number of responses to that, sir, but before we move into it, we normally check, Jane, on how your weekend's been, because clearly you've got no friends, so no one else to talk about, and it scares me having you both here.
The two of us could wrap it on all night. That
wouldn't
be an issue.
How was Pride March for you, Jane?
Hot. A very long day, because I was there about 11:30 to help with the Joy OB.
OB being
outside broadcast, which Joy did for 3 hours on Sunday from the George Cinemas, or outside the George Cinemas. So it was a street side OB. And
OB being
outside broadcast. I already said that.
I'm sorry.
You're behind the times.
So I heard you said that. Just St Kilda.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So you're outside a hotel in Fitzroy Street.
No, George Cinemas.
Okay.
That's the first time that we've been there.
Whatever, I don't know. I don't live in Fitzroy Street, so I spent some time in Grey Street, but that's another story.
No, we won't go down that route.
So you're outside the cinemas.
Yes.
In Fitzroy Street. In the sun.
We were actually right next to a fairly big tree, and that gave us sort of a bit of shade sort of throughout the day. And just before the march started, the station manager comes up and says, Jane, you're coming with me. Why? You're marching in the parade. Ah, am I?
and you with a dodgy foot.
Yeah, well, it's all right, on Sunday.
You're okay walking downhill anyway, aren't you?
Yes.
Mostly gravity takes its toll.
That's right.
You go and forward.
I got to carry the Y of Joy.
Yes.
So right at the front.
Yes, we actually had an email from Sally saying, Jane, behind the giant Y, and that people have been asking why about you for years.
And on Sunday, I think I was asking the question, why am I here?
Because you're not all there.
That's probably right. It'd have been much better back at the OB point, because basically I didn't see the parade.
So I can't ask you what you thought of Pride March. What about the size of the crowds? Was it bigger?
I think it was a little bit bigger than last year. It's usually fairly thin up the starting end, but it really congregates down towards the garden end. And the track actually gets smaller and smaller. The space you have
funnels,
to end up walking through is quite
funnels,
small.
It funnels, doesn't it? So you wouldn't have seen Christine Nixon coming down, I assume, with a massive roar.
I saw her sort of starting off, and that was about all. And even at the start, she got lots of applause and whistles. And great.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful day. I wasn't there. I had things to do. You weren't there either, Michael?
No.
Good answer.
No, I don't answer. I don't know where I was. Probably my mother.
No was a short enough answer. That's all right.
No, I was. Yes, I would have liked to have been there, but detained elsewhere. Mm. Never mind. And there was something else you were telling me about that was... Oh, you were comparing it to Mardi Gras. Now you've finally marched in both?
Yes, finally in both. Mardi Gras, I think, is a...
Oh, I've got an SMS. Hey, what's an OB, Mike? See?
Outside broadcast.
There you go.
Which
well,
Joy does a lot of.
Yeah, but stop saying OB.
I'm so used to saying OB instead of outside broadcast.
I'm used to saying rat's ass, but you don't hear me saying it all the time.
No, true.
Anyway.
Comparing the two, I think Mardi Gras is a much bigger thrill because there's a lot more people and the march is also a lot longer.
And it's darker.
Darker.
I think the last time I marched with you, you lost your skirt on one of the fences, which makes it...
Several times, actually.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, Mardi Gras was bigger, I think. I think the crowds are thicker and certainly uglier after the parade. Pride March, people are still lovely people in Melbourne. In Sydney, after about 11:30 on Mardi Gras, people are ugly.
Well, I suppose in Sydney they've actually been drinking from probably sort of 4 o'clock in the afternoon and going through to 11. But here, they only get sort of like 1 or 2 hours drinking in, so they're not quite as bad.
Oh, okay. That's a reasonable response, I suppose. Mm. And you bought a new laptop?
I bought a new
laptop.
Finally? Mm. Finally, yes.
Do you need to plug it or
no?
So it works on batteries.
Yes, it does work on batteries. So hasn't got quite the life that I expected on batteries. It's about an hour and a half, but I've probably got the power settings wrong. Pretty anyway, good. That's another issue.
Okay. And you wanted to mention that tonight's our 10-year anniversary.
10th-year anniversary.
Because you're anal like that.
Yes, I am a bit. We actually started transmission time...
I believe it's not the only way that you're anal, but...
on the 1st of February 1999.
Wow.
At 11 p.m. to 1 a.m, the graveyard shift.
I remember the graveyard shifts, yes.
So basically today is 10 years.
So we've been pushing our agenda for 10 years and we were going to announce our retirement tonight?
No, I don't think the program manager would like that.
Soon. soon.
We can give notice.
We can.
We can.
And Michael, you've been renovating all weekend, fixing and painting and building. And
2 months of it.
Okay. Nearly finished though, aren't you?
Yes, we're nearly finished. The Sanderman finished today. The outdoor guys who can do everything, they're replacing weatherboards and they'll paint the whole outside. I was going to do that, but I got offered to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
take the offer.
So much preparation with gap fillers and...
It's always nice to get a man in, especially if there's a gap that needs filling. Michael, yep.
Definitely.
Always a good thing. And the other thing I noticed was yesterday was Groundhog Day.
Oh.
Ah.
I didn't know that.
2nd of February every year is Groundhog Day, although if you ask Bill Murray, every day is Groundhog Day. But yes, they had it on one of the news... They showed Punxsutawney Phil, I think whatever the rat's name
is. That's right,
yes. And yeah, we're holding him up and he did see a shadow apparently. I guess he saw it in those 6 inches of snow that they've had over there recently. And yes, another 6 weeks of winter.
Okay. And I suppose none of the stations played the film last night?
Oh, I didn't. Groundhog Day. Groundhog, it's all
no,
about.
They did Devil Does Prada and Terminator 3.
Oh.
Not as good as
something
the
for everyone
day.
There, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I mean, I've been watching tennis for 4 weeks and...
You went to the tennis, didn't
and,
you?
Yep, the first 4 days. I
with that
got
with that long
series.
Beard, with the long white shirt, you know, they could... They would want to no. scan you with the metal detectors, aren't they?
Yeah, they kept filling my lunch every day.
Oh,
I went in.
Half your luck. So, was it hot when you were there?
Very.
Really?
I mean, it was under 40, but I was ended up with seats that were in the sun, and the shadows kept moving upwards towards me, and it was so hot, so you'd sort of move sideways, and in case no one was there, but then people came, and yeah, I found it very tiring.
Sitting and watching,
because the ball goes so fast.
Did you see Rafael Nadal?
Yes, I saw Nadal. That ball
he looks kind of tired. 5.5 hours, one game, and the final was 4 hours and something, 4.5 hours. Oh. Yes.
In 40 degree heat.
We've had an email from Andrew. I believe there were about 45,000 spectators at Pride, down from 50,000 last year. However, the first Asia-Pacific Out game swelled the number of marchers and crowd last year. 45,000 is quite a significant number, isn't it?
Yes,
Melbourne.
Yes, for a quiet Sunday afternoon stroll. Yes, wonderful. We'll go to music, and then we'll have this discussion about this magic pill that we're hoping to invent at some stage. Transmission time with Jane, Lauren, and Michael tonight, and a couple of emails, SMSs, hello and congratulations on 10 years of Transmission Time. Hope now your show can graduate to a 2-hour show. Betty, I'll tell them. Oh, God, no. Betty, no, we're trying to graduate to a 30-second show, but really appreciate your support.
The show used to be 2 hours when we first started, Betty, but I think that's because there was plenty of space to fill, and they thought that we could fill it.
And yes, and then we just got old and tired. And we've had an email from Anthony. Hi, ladies. What's an OB? There you go.
Outside broadcast.
He says, I hear that only 4,000 people marched in Pride March. Does that suggest that most queers are not interested anymore? Agrees with some criticism on the spin relating to its non-relevance. I was in the toilet when they were talking about that, so I don't know. On another note, I still think your music's gone downhill lately. LOL. I think that's code for Please Kill Jane.
None of the tracks have been mine yet. Mine are yet to come. I actually received an email at home. Hi, Jane and Lauren. Congratulations on 10 years on air with Transmission Time on Joy. 10 years for any radio show is a real achievement, but 10 years with a transgender radio show is so amazing. I don't think that has happened anywhere else in the world. It's just so good.
Did you write this, Michael?
No, it comes
goes on and on a bit.
I snuck it in.
That was from Denise.
That's enough self-congratulatory rubbish. 10 years with your crappy comedy track is more than enough, if you ask me. So, the issue of the day, the magic pill.
The magic pill.
You were polling our community.
Yes, I was, and I received a few responses. Basically, the question is, if there was a magic pill that would take away your gender identity issues, would you take it and why? The question's also really in two parts. Would you have taken it when you first realised that you had a gender issue? And then basically make it all go away. And would you take it now in 2009, where your situation would have changed?
Yes, and I guess we phrased the question that way because Because as you evolve, you tend to change your opinion somewhat.
You do.
Some people haven't. You've got statistics, I believe. We can go through those later on. But we had a number of responses. Go on, give me one at random.
Okay, one at random. When I first became aware of my gender dysphoria, I would have taken any number of pills to change myself into a normal, quotated, person. At that early stage, I desperately wanted to fit in with my friends. And so basically the question then, also the answer then, was yes. So she goes on to say, nowadays I would have to admit that I would be very loath to take the pill. Being transgendered is both a curse and a privilege. We see the world in a totally different way to others. I don't think I'd wish to lose that.
Well, I don't know if we see the world differently, but it certainly opens your eyes, doesn't it?
It does.
It's a fair point. I'm going to say she, because she's, I can read, you've crossed out her name, but I can read it. So I'm going to say she. I respect her point about loving her parents and having to hide her true self from them was awful. Mm-hmm. So certainly in the early days, I would have felt similar, that it's just, it was a curse.
Yeah, because it's something that you have to sort of deal with. In a lot of cases, you keep to yourself and you don't tell anybody. And I suppose the weight of it can make it unbearable for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this person said, yes, I'd take the pill and it would cure my problems.
Did you, Michael, when you were growing up and realised you had a gender issue?
Yeah, I was just thinking.
Did you hide it from your parents, from the family, from your friends?
No.
Really? Just straight out?
It was like, ripe old age of 48, it was, this is it. This is who I am. This is who I want to project.
This was, but you kind of, you had a different background. You identified as lesbian early on, yes. I mean, apart from the nun thing.
Well, I was straight for 10 years, then I was a
you
lesbian
were straight, as in
for 10
heterosexual
years.
Female, yeah. Attracted to men.
Not attracted, just using
but putting up with them, just using them for sex. There are days
having
when I just
fun.
Wish you didn't ask the question.
Having fun.
Having fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
For and about then decided that I think I like girls.
Yeah.
So then it was chasing girls.
Okay.
And then it was breaking up with girls. And then it was, where do I go from here?
And?
There was this, it was like there was something waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Because I remember being at the Rochester pub.
Okay. And is that near the George Cinemas?
No, not
Victoria Street.
Been
criticised for not knowing
this
where
is Johnson Street.
Okay.
And Marie Wilson was playing, and guitar and singing, and there were some guys there. And I just kept looking at them all the time and thinking, why am I looking at the guys? I like girls. Why am I looking at the guys? What's the problem? Mm-hmm.
The 14 empty beer glasses in front of you was possibly part of it. But yeah.
So it was like I was noticing the guys because that's what I was becoming unconsciously. I didn't know it was
but
happening.
That's really late in a lot of trans people. Like
yeah, I mean, yeah, I know. The
a lot of people transition. A lot of people transition late, but not many people come to the realisation very late.
Yeah, mm.
Like people hide it all their
well,
lives.
Well, I wanted to be a boy from, you know, age 3.
Yeah,
it's the right answer you give to the shrinks. Age 3, age 5.
You wouldn't be falsifying your statements to satisfy some criteria for the psychologists and psychiatrists, surely.
Surely not, no.
No,
but I'd hope not.
True. I even went to the barber to get my hair cut, much to my mother's chagrin, when I was like 6.
Oh, okay.
In Blacklock, there were 2 hairdressing shops. To the left was the woman hairdresser, and to the right was the barber.
So you went to the barber?
So I went to the barber one day when I was all of age 6, and he cut my hair.
So there was issues, but I guess you complicated it with coming out as a lesbian.
Yeah, but then the lesbian made sense because that meant that I was attracted to women.
Yeah.
I realised that, so therefore I must be a lesbian.
An interesting evolution, I guess. Did you go into denial, Jane? Were you hiding? And
I went into denial basically after I got married.
So you were out to your parents and
No, I was more in denial to myself. In my early days, I kept it very, very, very secret. And from about the age of 10 is the earliest I can remember. To about 25 when I got married, I said, "No, this is it. Don't need to do this anymore," and basically buried it.
And that went on for about 20 years, and then things started to rise up again, and all the sort of the early thoughts all started to come back again. And it's evidently not uncommon for that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Give us some... Read us another response.
Okay. One here that she doesn't talk about sort of in the early days, but I like her comment. She said, "If I could make this go away, I would never have been what I feel I am, a woman. I never want that to go away."
Okay, so she's saying, I'm a transgender woman and I wouldn't have taken the pill, regardless. Short answer, but yes.
This response actually came from the UK. "I'm getting the impression that it's fairly common with people who have transitioned know that they don't want to go back because of the way that they feel once they've transitioned, and it's a big difference to living half and half to transitioning."
Transmission time, more in a moment. Alicia Keys on Transmission Time. All right, and all right, thank you very much, Nectarios. Love the show, girls. 10 more years, please. Oh, please, no.
I don't know whether we could do another 10 years.
I don't think you'll be alive for another 10 years.
Oh, I hope to be around for another 20 or 30 years.
Michael could do it for another 10 years. And we had another SMS unsigned, I think, saying, "I think Pride March is more embracing than Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras lost its spark 5 years ago and isn't really a community event anymore." I don't know. I haven't. Oh, I was there 2 years ago and it was still pretty fabulous.
Mm. It is interesting to watch. It is some good entertainment, but maybe the idea why it was started has basically lost its oomph a little bit.
Which one, Pride March or Mardi Gras?
Probably both, actually. Because
they're not protest marches anymore.
No, they're
really
not.
No.
Although Pride March perhaps is more of a community protest march or a community affirmation march than anything else.
And it's been going for more than 10 years.
14 years, I think it was. Anyway.
So thanks for your comment. Also, thanks to Andrew for two comments. Your show's great, old and tired or not.
Who's the old and who's tired?
I think you're old. I think I must be tired. And congratulations on 10 years. Andrew also goes on to say, "I feel I wasted a lot of my time in my life before I knew who I really was. I would probably have taken the pill as a teenager to make life easier. Now I don't care. In fact, I like it." Which is a wonderful, wonderful affirming attitude. You had a couple more responses,
yes.
Jane?
One here, "I'm happy about who I am and what I get up to without wanting a magic pill to change it. People accept me for who I am, and I suspect those who don't won't anyway if I took the pill." So I think this person is saying, well, yeah, I'm very happy the way I am, and whether I take the pill or not, people's attitudes toward me are going to be the same.
She's inferring that I'm happy with being transgender.
Mm. Yes.
Isn't she? I'm guessing she's probably not, some of the other comments she makes, she's probably not transitioned, hasn't picked a side and is living a dual existence, I suspect.
Mm. Which most people tend to do anyway for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
"Hi Jane, Lauren and girls. From my point of view, I don't like the words gender issues that we need a magic pill to fix, because it seems to indicate that there is something wrong with being transgender in the first place. For me, being transgender..."
That's a fair comment, yeah.
"Yeah. "For me, being transgender is the most wonderful, fabulous and exciting thing that could be in this world."
No, when I was being... had eggs thrown at me down Commercial Road about 10 years ago, it had its moments. Yeah, I ducked and hit one of my friends. Terribly sorry, Regina, if you're listening. I always felt bad, but I wasn't being paid as a bodyguard. I just swayed back and the egg just sort of bounced off my jacket and splattered onto a girlfriend. Anyway, he goes on to say,
"If I wasn't out there as an obvious transgender girl, I'd never get to do half the things that I do, meet the people I meet, and have the fun I have. So I wouldn't take the pill to turn me into just another boring GG, a genetic girl. Love, Denise." Now, Denise has actually sort of looked at the question from a slightly different point of view, because the initial thrust of the question was, would you take the pill to make you back to the way that you were basically born and being happy with your body? She's taken it the other way and said, well, if I take the pill, it turned me into a woman, you know, straight away.
She's clearly identifying as a transgender woman or a transgender girl, and is liberated by it and is living her life happily as a transgender, a very out transgender girl.
Very out.
Mm. I'm out, this is me, I don't care what you think. And she obviously has a personality to carry it off, I'd say.
I think so. From the photos that she actually sort of sent in as well, yes, she is very, very out.
Yes, yeah, which is wonderful, I guess, and very proud and And both of those, I think, were very affirming and nice. Because a lot of people will transition and move on with their lives. A lot of people will stay in the closet all their lives. A lot of people simply don't address their gender issues at all. And like you said earlier, Jane, just live in denial. But Denise has obviously found a way to say, well, this is me. I'm a transgender girl. And deal with it. And people seem to be dealing with it, which is good. Yeah, wonderful. So, good on you, Denise. That's nice. More of this on Transmission Time in just a moment.
Transmission Time on Joy 94.9. We are continuing our little discussion on would you take a magic pill to make your gender issues go away?
I'd take a magic pill to make Blondie go away.
Oh. You don't like Blondie and Island of Lost Souls.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like my little lost soul in the wilderness. We had a...
Michael, how is it you didn't... Michael's gesturing at that comment, Jane.
A violin.
Violin gesture. Anyway.
We had a call from Adam, basically saying congratulations on 10 years, girls, and likes the topic.
Less, and you get less for armed robbery. We also had an email from Guy. On the subject of the magic pill, I would much rather a pill that resulted in the perfect phalloplasty that just grew and functioned well without life risking surgery. What's phalloplasty, Michael?
A penis.
Yes.
Can I say that?
Well, it's too late.
Considering the other words. Considering all, that's very mild. Phalloplasty is what the addition, it's, what do they call it, an adidectomy. Is that right?
It is an adidectomy, yes.
Adidectomy.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's all I got, yeah, adidectomy.
Yes, thanks. Because it's, as Guy is saying, it's the surgery technology for phalloplasties, not very good.
Not very good.
Don't wave a thumbs down at me. People can't see that. Not so good. In your understanding, it hasn't improved still.
I wouldn't go near. But the way that they do it in Singapore and possibly Thailand, whereby they use the stomach skin above, to fashion a phallus.
They use what? Stomach skin. They take a graft from your stomach.
They take a graft of the stomach in your...
Yes, sorry. Michael's leaning back and please... The gestures, people can't see them, and frankly, I wish I couldn't. Yes.
Anyway, they take a piece out of your stomach and then they fold it down and they somehow make it into a phallus.
Okay. Mm. But it would just be skin. It would just be skin and shape. It wouldn't have any function.
That I don't know. It's a long time since I've read the book.
Okay.
But the reason why I won't touch any of that surgery, the barge pole...
I wouldn't touch a penis.
Because...
Oh, sorry.
Because of the urethra. They haven't worked out how to extend the urethra so that you can wee out of the end of your phallus.
Is that the biggest issue? Weeing?
Yeah, weeing. Hmm. Very big issue.
Okay.
Hmm. So I know someone, but he weed from underneath, so it's pretty much in line with what he had.
Oh, I see.
And then he went and had surgery to make it lengthen.
Yeah.
And he's just
to try and lengthen the urethra.
Urethra. He hasn't had much success, as far as I've heard. Now, there are probably lots of success stories, just haven't heard.
Oh, dear.
It is a very difficult piece of surgery, much harder than what we have to go through. Anyway, somebody else had a different take on taking the pill. Hi, Jane.
This is the pill to cure gender issues.
Yes. I think a magic gender pill is a great idea, but I would not take it, as I think the pill should be taken by those people who won't accept transgender people at all.
Well, that wouldn't hurt, would it?
So to make them sort of...
To make them die.
No.
Oh, no, sorry, who said that? Then we wouldn't have a Pope.
Wash your mouth out with soap and water.
What would the world be like without the Pope and John Howard? Anyway, I was just fantasising. Yeah, well, fair point. Actually, we just received an email from Sally. Can't we invent a pill that would get rid of homo and transphobia instead?
Well, that's exactly what this person was basically suggesting.
Life is not all beer and skittles. Try telling that to a barman in a bowling alley. Thank you, Sally.
Another one who basically has a bite of the question sort of both ways from Samantha. I would take the magic pill in 2000 answer. Short answer is no. I am me, and a big part of me is the fact that I am a transgender woman. I don't hide this fact. So she is...
That's very similar to Denise.
That's right,
that she she doesn't hide... Because there's a big... or there has been for many years this thing about passing.
Yes.
Passing as a woman, passing as a man. I'm looking at you, Osama. It's people could look at you, Michael, and people would never know that you ever had gender issues. You've got a beard, your testosterone-flavoured moustache.
And plenty of hair.
Yes, and yeah.
And they don't look past.
They don't look past
the lower half.
Well, I'm not looking. Fortunately, we don't do the show naked. But
no, but you know what I mean.
Glad. Yes, but it's not. You don't need to live as a transgender man. You simply live as a man.
Yeah,
absolutely. But a lot of people think that is the ultimate goal of anyone who has gender issues. They want to convert or transition to the other gender that they identify with, and then they simply wish to be ignored.
It's right.
And not noticed.
Not read.
But some of these girls that we're getting, and most of them are girls, we're getting messages from, are saying, I'm just who I am.
Mm.
And I guess in Victoria, in Australia, you can do that, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that there are laws that prevent, well, are supposed to prevent discrimination and harassment on the basis of gender identity. I guess these people, if they were living in many places in the Middle East and some places in the east of the USA, simply couldn't do that.
No, it'd be extremely difficult, yeah.
Yes, but they are identifying as trans women,
that's
aren't
right.
they? Because I guess they might be 6'4" with broad shoulders and simply say, well, this is who we are.
Mm. And well, it seems to be sort of a common thread that's gone through a lot of the emails that I received. Now in 2009, no, I basically wouldn't change things because I think my life is better. I've been through all the hassles and I'm comfortable with myself.
Yeah.
But a lot of, like Samantha here says, now for the second part of your question, would I have taken it when I first realised? This a little bit more difficult to answer. But once again, the short answer is most likely would have been yes. In other words, when she was first aware of the gender issues and probably of some of the problems ahead of her, it would have been a lot easier to take a magic pill and say, basically, all go away and I will just be myself as I was born.
Because a lot of people have had to deal with a lot of issues and weigh up the loss of family and friends.
And it seems to be worse for males or females.
Yes. A lot of the girls that we've received responses from have had children.
Mm.
And in many cases have had to basically walk away from the children or walk into the grave. Mm. And they've taken the first option because the second one walks you away from the children anyway. So. But it's a very, very hard call. And even some of those people that I'm reading in all of these responses, is a lot of those people are saying, but I still had to do it.
Yes.
I still wouldn't take the magic pill to change the way my life evolved.
I think that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
What the Gender Dysphoria Clinic cannot dispel. If you go along and say, this is what I want to do, they're not going to turn around and say, no, you don't, because they'll give you maybe a few questions, but they didn't really ask me anything. I just told them this is what I wanted to do.
In many cases, I think what you're saying is this is what I need to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you don't kind of do it on a whim.
No, and you don't know what you need to do. You don't know how to go about it. And I was just lucky I had a transgender woman who was able to point me to the clinic.
Yeah.
But I didn't need to go to the clinic.
No, but you needed to transition your gender.
I needed it to give me confirmation. That's what I wanted. I wanted confirmation. I went off and got my hormones from somebody else. I felt that I wanted confirmation that I wasn't imagining it.
Oh, this is why you use the gender centre, the Monash Gender Dysphoria Clinic.
But in terms of
transitioning, Michael, in terms of transitioning your gender, that you would you say you needed to do that?
No.
So you could have lived as a woman?
No. Without going to the gender clinic, I would have done what I did, which was go and get hormones.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about transition, not about going to the gender centre.
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you. Thanks. It's nice to stay on track. Jane, your magic pill, would you have taken it? We had this discussion many years ago.
Yeah, and I think the answer is probably yes in both cases. One, when I was very young.
What are the two cases?
When I was young, and even now, basically because I think I'd get my children back. That is the big stickling point.
So the cost has been huge.
It's been the cost of not having either of my children talk to me.
But it's not something that you could change.
No.
Because you also had to make this transition.
I did, yes. But I think if I'd known sort of, you know, when I was much younger, there was an option, I think I probably would have taken it. Even though I've had great time in my early sort of cross-dressing days, it was a challenge, but I think I really found myself, and I suppose it sometimes gets hard to say whether you go put yourself through that. And I think the answer would have been no. I would have taken the little magic pill. And today, even though I think my life is a lot better, I think I would take it so just to get my children back.
Yep, absolutely. Look, when we talked about it 15, 20 years ago, quite some time ago.
We've known each other for a long time.
I think we both agreed that we couldn't do anything about who we were and how we felt about who we were and who we are. But had there been a pill 20 years ago that would have allowed me to leave what I would have perceived to be a normal life, because, of course, there was all those issues in front of you that you don't understand.
That's right.
And we were nowhere near as evolved, if this got mature, I don't know if that's a fair word, but as evolved as you've come to, as you grow to know yourself, and I'm sure everyone in the gay community feels the same way. Early on, all you feel is the pain and the anxiety and the loss of friends, or the feeling that you're different, you can't fit in, you can't live your life, everyone's picking on me, and it's just, you know, that's why we lose so many trans people and so many young gay and lesbian people to suicide, because you can't fit in. And at that moment, if you had a choice of changing or suicide, you would take the pill.
You would, yes.
Today, I don't know if I would. I don't think I would take it. I think I would hang on to my gender issues. They are there. I can't do much about them. Things might change, and I might change my mind later on as well. It's just, it's so hard.
It is a very difficult question.
And on a bad day, yes, I'd probably just go and stick it in my mouth and swallow it, assuming it's not a suppository. and just
and
move on. But I honestly don't know. We've got to get out of here.
But just before we go,
you've got the stats.
Yes, and just a very brief summary. Basically, about 37% of people who responded said to the first question, when they first found out, yes, they take the pill. 37% said no. It was extremely balanced, and about 25-26% were undecided. In 2009, a whopping 76% of people said no, they wouldn't take the pill. They were basically happy with their life.
A whopping.
It's an old word, isn't it? Yeah. So 76%, and basically about 12% would question, and 12% said yes. So it's a very rough sort of poll just on the results that we got, but it shows a bit of a trend.
And we don't know all the ones that didn't answer.
That's right.
We don't know why they didn't answer. Mm-hmm. And we obviously can't ask the people for whom there was no magic pill and there was no solution.
Mm.
The people who have just had to move on in their lives, and there have been a number.
So unfortunately.
Nonetheless, thanks to everyone who contributed to the discussion tonight. There's been a huge amount of email and SMS, and thanks to you, Michael, for coming in and giving
us the
masculine perspective.
Yes.
And yes, thanks to all our listeners, and we'll be back on air next Tuesday at 8 o'clock with more of Life from a Transgender Perspective.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.